Let us be watchful after the victory as before the battle. Let us be watchful. Remember to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Church, listen to me. Are we praying as much after the victory as we were in the battle? This is what he's telling us. Satan takes no days off, and he looks for opportune times to attack.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to the Hope Restored series as we continue through the book of Nehemiah. We have watched God's people pray, build, battle, and persevere. Now after 52 days of labor, the wall stands completed. Today's message from Nehemiah chapter 6, 15 through 19, and chapter 7, 1 through 3, is titled, Watch and Pray. The battle appeared to be over, but Nehemiah did not confuse success with safety. He appointed dependable leaders, organized guards, and ordered that the gates remain secured until the proper time. Nehemiah was watchful before the battle, faithful during the battle, and remained watchful after the victory. He knew that what God restores must also be guarded. Spiritual victory is not only something to celebrate, it's something to steward. And we must be prayerful after the breakthrough, as we were while asking God to provide it. Today's question is, have you become comfortable in an area where God is calling you to remain spiritually awake, prayerful, and prepared? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 6, starting in verse 15, with today's title, Watch and Pray.
My prayer, our prayer has always been that God would first and foremost build a foundation in our lives. You go, why, Pastor? Guys, listen, the world is getting awful and ugly, and it's doing this by the micro minute. Okay? We thought we all praised the Lord when technology came and we had internet. I mean, it was a vast improvement when microwaves came out. Do you remember that? I was like, wow, you can make popcorn and whatever. I mean, this was just, it was crazy. Microwaves. She remembers. And then you and I, you remember this. You'll remember this. You older folks, we don't have any young ones in here, but you remember that on TV, it would always say www, and then they'd have a thing, and we'd ask, what is that about? What is www? Like, we didn't know. And eventually here came the internet and here came all of this. But look what's happening now. The enemy is doing its very best. But think about this. It's moving in a micro minute. And if you don't have your foundation solid on God, you can be deceived very quickly. You can be deceived very quickly. We have to be so careful. We have to be so careful. Jesus warned us. Do not be deceived. Paul warned us, don't be deceived. Satan is the father of lies, and he wants to deceive us. He wants to get us away. He wants us to compromise our walk. He wants us to question our walks. He wants us to question, are we really saved? Am I really a prayer warrior? Am I really? So we have to follow Nehemiah. We have to have the foundation first and foremost. My heart is that we would be able to build our lives on what he wants, on his word. And my prayer is that he would do a miracle to restore relationships, to bring our prodigals back, to heal in men friendships that have been broken. My heart is to see marriages restored that have been battered by the enemy. If you're taking notes, there are going to be two central points here in our study. Number one, building lives. And what I mean by this is make sure that we have a real and true relationship with Jesus. A true and real relationship. You go, Pastor, I'm not sure what you mean. Well, I was reading a book earlier this week that talked about a cheap imitations. You guys remember that? We've all seen the imitation knockoff products, right? The false Nike shoes, if you will. The imitation Air Jordans. The fake Gucci handbags, and even the imitation Rolex watches. They look good, don't they? They look like they're real, You can't tell them apart. I remember when I was starting off in the rental business, to have a Rolex, it looked really nice. And I think it cost you $69.99. And it looked like a Rolex, but it wasn't a Rolex. It looked like one. And you go, Pastor, what's the point? You can tell the fakes over time, can't you? Maybe not so much at first, but in time, the imitation breaks down. It falls apart. It gets thrown away. And you go, well, what's the point, man? What's the takeaway? You ready? And so it is with the walk, with our walks with God. At first glance, everything's fine. Praise the Lord. I lift my hands. I sing glory, hallelujah, to the King of Kings. But if it's not a real walk based on the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, what'll happen is over time, it's gonna break down. It's gonna fall apart. And it's going to get thrown away. Guys, my prayer is that when it comes to Jesus, we would all have the real thing. If you're taking note, jot this down. 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul writes, examine yourselves as to do whether you're in, as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Pastor Sof puts it this way, do a spiritual inventory, check your heart, make sure we're right. Do that test, Lord, where am I? Am I walking tight with you? Well, Pastor, are you saying that I'm not saved? No, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is the enemy wants to deceive us, to trip us up in our walks. The enemy wants to, but it's often important that we do have the real thing. A real Rolex, Brother Joe, costs more than a fake Rolex. You go, amen. It costs us more, our lives, but in the end, it's well worth it. It's well worth it. The second thing we see in our series is restoring relationship. Remember, we did a teaching called, Does Anybody Really Care? And if you'll take a hard look at our world, this is where we need to be. Does anybody really care? There are people, even us, come on, church, that are walking this earth with broken hearts, relationships that have been broken. Many of our relationship has become indifferent. My prayer, our prayer should be, guys, that the gates and those walls will serve as application points and miracles for God to restore those which are broken and which are stolen. I think this last month for me has been a pretty tough month. And I was sitting in my office with Joseph yesterday, and I told Joseph this, when you really think about it, in 50 years, it's not going to matter. This month, this week, it's not going to matter. You go, why? In 50 years, if the Lord tarries, I won't be here. And then Joseph started to count. He goes, okay, I might not be here either. He's a little bit younger than me, you know, just a few years, but the premise is true, isn't it? 100 years from now, who's going to know our name if the Lord tarries? So it's important, guys, that we restore the gates and the walls, and we take back those things that the enemy stolen. The walls, the gates, only took 52 days. And my thought has to be in my life, in your life, in the walls, and everything that we're reading here by way of application, this has to be a work of God. As you and I submit to God in the authority of God, it's a miracle. And yet, here's what I've learned. God invites us to do the work. He invites us into the work. You go, what does that look like? Well, we need to do our part. Can I get an amen? Right. We step out in faith. You go, what do you mean? I've seen too many people go, God, give me a job. Well, have you went out and looked? No, I just know he's going to give me. And then you're unemployed for like 6 years because you won't look in the newspaper, because nobody does that anymore. It's all on the internet. There was a time that we had to look through the newspaper for a job. There used to be, serious. We could not go to Indeed or anything. It was like circling them. Okay, I'm going to go there tomorrow. And they called it pounding the pavement. You remember that? Pounding the pavement. I'd like an application, please. And we did all that, but that's not the point. The point is, we got to do the work. We got to do the work. What's your part in the work? Your salvation done. Amen. But our part in the work, guys, is we stepping out in faith and we purpose to walk closer to Jesus And we got rebuked today in a loving, most awesome way. We got a rebuke to pray with our wives, to love each other. This is the things we've got to do. Well, it goes on in Nehemiah chapter 6. That was 15. 16 says, and it happened, notice, and it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, what things, that the walls were built, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this is work done by our God. This is a great verse for you to underline, highlight, whatever it means. You go, why? Well, first and foremost, let's break it down. All of a sudden, Nehemiah goes, listen, then it happened, right? And isn't that how it is? Then it happened. And you go, what happened? He said, when the nation saw these things, instead of going, all right, guys, amen, or whatever it might be, they became very disheartened. When the wall was finished and the enemies became there, they were very disheartened. And you know what I wrote in my notes? It's a glorious thing to dishearten the enemies of God's people, to let them be discouraged for a while. Let them be. God has done the work. God has done the work. But listen to me. The battles were hard. The work was big. There were challenges from within and without. But now the job is finished and the victory is sweet.
We can't believe that you finished.
But we did. This is what's going on here. What was their perception? What was going on in their hearts? Well, they perceived. It wasn't that they said, well, Nehemiah did this, and those little rascal people, they got to get. No, no, no. Here's what they perceived. This is done by their God. This is done by their God. Their enemies were disheartened because, not just because the wall was finished. They weren't bummed about that. You know what they were bummed about? Because it was evident that God did the work. It was evident. It was all around it. Listen to me, when something has the fingerprints of God on it, our enemies take notice. Our enemies take notice. I love the way that this one pastor puts it, and he writes, quote, a strong, secure people of Jerusalem were a witness to surrounding nations, yet many of us live Christian lives that no one takes notice of because our walls are broken down, end quote. You understand what Nehemiah is saying. The walls are up, the doors are up, and the nations are like, wow, that has to be a work of God. That's only God could do that. How long did it take? 52 days. But when it comes to our lives, this pastor writes, many Christians live their lives and no one takes notice of them. Why? He says, because their walls are broken down. You go, well, what would be the answer? Well, what was the answer in Nehemiah's day? Let the Lord do the building work and others will notice. You go, I want to be a great witness for the Lord. Let the Lord do that work and people will notice. Wow. Wow. Well, now the scene changes in our text. Guys, Nehemiah writes an account. He notes that Tobiah is not happy with at all. And here's the sad part. Tobiah's not going away. I would think Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they would have said, well, shucks, we did it. We tried to get them to stop. They wouldn't stop. Oh, well, they're not going away. And in verses 17 through 19, the work is finished despite some who were friends with the enemy, Tobiah. Think about this in verse 17. Look, take a look. Nehemiah writes, also in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. Think about this. This is just mind-blowing. Nehemiah knows this. He's like, oh, by the way, there's some nobles in here that had correspondence with the enemy, with our enemy, Tobiah. Think about this. During this time, that they're building the walls and there's discouragement and all this, letters were going back and forth between the nobles of Judah and Tobiah. You go, well, what's the big deal, Ben? What's the big deal? They were just texting each other. They were no. Listen, Tobiah was a man who vehemently opposed the rebuilding of the work with Sanballat. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10, he was disturbed that Nehemiah actually came to rebuild the walls. In verse 19, in chapter 4, verse 3, he mocked Nehemiah's work. And in chapter 4, verse 7, he was angry that the work was being done. And further on in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, he was one of the men who tried to get Nehemiah to stop the work. Do you remember where he was? He was in the plains of Ono. Come on out, Nehemiah. Come on out. We're going to, let's talk. Let's just, come on. We're going to get you alone. And the purpose, the Bible tells us, is that they wanted to attack Nehemiah, get him out there alone. Or if they had Nehemiah in the plains of Ono, guess what would happen? They would attack the people. The importance of a shepherd, the importance of a true shepherd that will be with you and walk with you and set up guards and security. Can you imagine? Listen, all y'all are comfortable in here because we've got security. We've got people at the door. We're making sure. We're not even thinking about it. We have the faith and we're just like, praise the Lord. But can you imagine if we were out here and we were in a hostile nation and we had no walls and no doors or anything else? How could you worship? You couldn't close your eyes. There's just no way. Can you imagine the worship team? They're looking to make, I mean, there's no doors and it's just like, and you know Sanballat, you know Tobiah, you know these guys, they're just, and so again, it's like, why are you sleeping with the enemy? You see, that's exactly what the nobles of Judah were doing with Tobiah. In verse 18 of Nehemiah chapter 6, it says, for many in Judah were pledged to him. Look at that, guys, underline that. They were pledged to him. Why? Because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son, Jehohanan, had married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Bechariah. Also, they reported his good deeds before me and reported my words to him. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Now, this is deep. This is deep. I want you to note three things that we can learn from these nobles who were friends with Tobiah. You go, what are they? Number one, let's go. Number one, sometimes we cannot see what is right in front of us. Listen to me, church. Perhaps they didn't see much of the evil work of Tobiah firsthand. No, Brother Joe, he's a good man. No. They had a hard time believing it. We imagine them saying, oh, well, he's always been so nice to us. Look at all the good he's done. Number two, we note that they did not have a shepherd's heart or a shepherd's eye. Nehemiah was called of God to protect God's people and God's work. And he was watching and on guard in a way others were not. Listen, Christian, listen. There are wolves. There are wolves. They're not sheep. They're wolves. And sometimes we just go, welcome to church. Let's just invite everybody in and let's sing Kumbaya, hallelujah. And the shepherd goes, Well, how could you do that, Pastor? Aren't we to love everybody? God loves everybody. And again, think about that. They didn't have the shepherd's heart or the shepherd's eye. Nehemiah was called to, he was called of God to protect God's people and God's work. Church, I often watch in a way and I guard in a way that others are not. Also, jot this down. In the case of these nobles, there was self-interest at work. You go, what do you mean? They had financial dealings with Tobiah and wanted to protect. What do you mean? His numerous binding agreements. You go, when it says pledge to him, that's what it meant. Hey man, we got some financial stuff going. Hey, Tobiah's a good guy. He's all right. Can you imagine? These are the guys you're employing. Come on, guys, we want to build the wall. Oh man. And you're out here, you're going, Tobiah told me not. So he had these binding agreements within the Jewish community and were probably trading contracts facilitated, check this out, by marriage connection. This is what's going on. The Jewish nobles at this time were sleeping with the enemy. I pray that our leadership and our shepherds here would see wolves a mile away and chase them away to protect the sheep. because sheep get hurt. Sheep get eaten. And so it's so important. This is exactly it. As we come and we want to land our Bible study, I want to remind you that chapter 7 is a list of priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, and starting from verse 4 to 73, that's what they are. And we won't be looking at each person in chapter 7. Next year, we're going to come back and start in chapter 8, but I just want to finish up in chapter 7, 1 through 3 before we close. Nehemiah writes, "Then it was, remember all that's happened, when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel. For he was a faithful man and feared God more than any." Isn't that so cool? Nehemiah had promised Artaxerxes, "I'm going to go back." He's been there for 12 years, but now he goes, "Listen, when the work was done, I'm gonna go back for a little bit. And I'm going to what? I gave charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, for he was a faithful man," check this out, "and feared God more than many." More than many. Verse 3 says, "And I said to them," so he's talking to them, "don't let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors, and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and the other in front of his own house." In other words, man, we're not going to take anything for granted. Although they're built, we're still going to watch. We're still going to protect the city of Jerusalem. You go, what's the point? How do we land this plane? Let us be watchful after the victory as before the battle. Let us be watchful. Remember to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Church, listen to me. Are we praying as much after the victory as we were in the battle? This is what he's telling us. Satan takes no days off, and he looks for opportune times to attack. So here's what we're going to do. While we're worshiping, here's what we're going to do. Let's gather together while they're leading us in worship, and let's just pray. Let's just pray for a few minutes. Let's watch and pray. Let's watch and pray. Gather together. Let's watch and pray. Thank you. Father, we thank you today for your great love, your mercy, and your grace. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, and we trust you. We're going to take a few minutes to gather together and pray with each other until it's time to go home. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
Next time on the Hope Restored series, we'll see that rebuilding the walls was only part of God's plan. Nehemiah begins organizing the people within the city, because restored structures must be filled with restored lives, and that every person has a place in God's unfolding purpose. We will move past the remainder of chapter 7, which records the names of those who returned and took their place among God's people. And not that the names are not important, those names remind us that every person matters in the work of restoration. So we'll move on to Nehemiah chapter 8, gather with the people around the Word of God, and begin the teaching on how to pray. We'll discover how prayer, worship, and God's Word work together to restore the heart. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.